green oil.
Thank you.
Welcome to the panel, and we just need a few things from you. First of all, just to tell us who you are, by way of introducing yourself, but beyond that, you also inform us as to why you were interested in the post. And then finally, if there are issues around the conflict of interest, please tell us so that avoid members to raise those issues, because they do check candidates. But welcome to the panel.
Thank you, Chair. And thanks for members for giving me this opportunity to present the credentials to yourself. I'm DJ Mukuba, affiliated in Wajar Halima Mukuba. I work for the University of Limpopo as a Executive Director for Marketing and Communication. I'm the university spokesperson in the last 21 years. And I'm part of the executive team of the university by virtue of being executive director of marketing and communication. I am also serving in the council of the university by virtue of being executive and also serving in other committees of council as and when it's necessary, but most importantly on the audit committee. I am also part of the senate of the university, which is also a governing body in terms of academic affairs, and also senate committees where a number of issues are discussed before that presented today. I am also a member of the Executive Committee of Senate. And I also serve in three capacities. I'm in charge of three departments, which is marketing and communication, safety and security, and in acting capacity, responsible as an acting dean of students, which has got quite a number of units. Now the second question, why am I interested? I believe that I have got necessary credentials, having been in the management of the university in the last 8 years, executive management, and also being in the media industry for the last 21 years, and having the appropriate qualification which allowed me to participate nationally and also internationally to showcase my expertise. And I have also served in a number of boards which accounts for my knowledge of corporate governance and my current studies. My current studies also are related to corporate governance at the doctoral level. So a little bit of research has been done, although it is still working in progress. I have also chaired some boards, and I'm also still a member of certain boards, and I was also a board member in an engineering company which I resigned in 2016. And maybe the reason why I resigned is because I'm impressed by the open of faith, and then in order for one to be compliant, I have to resign so that I don't act in conflict with the loss of the land, and I resign. But I'm still a shareholder, but I'm not a director. As to the issues of the conflict of interest, I might not recall any in terms of conflict of interest, especially in the board, unless if there is anything that one is not aware of that might actually be brought to the attention, and I'm willing to clarify if there is anything
that's
against
the
thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Just on the conflict of interest.
Yes.
There is a section in the Drafting Act that we use the current to the specific section for the day. Are you familiar with the issues that are raised there, A, B, C, D, and if you are, just tell us what are those issues.
Well, maybe for one of the issues that accounts for declaration of interest would be maybe if I done business with FABC before.
Yeah.
And my answer is no, I've never done business with FABC before. My second question would be, are there some individuals who are working at FABC that I know? And my answer is yes. They are. Being in the media industry for the last 21 years, one would obviously build a relationship with certain persons who are employed by SABC and others. I have been to school with a Stellenbosch University, for example, in 2013, who are executives at SABC because we are attending an executive development program. Do I have any financial interest in SABC? I do not have any financial interest in SABC. Have I been found wrong in terms of the act? I've never, except the mere fact that I did a lot of interviews with SABC in the last 21 years that I've been the spokesperson of the university.
This clause goes beyond yourself as an individual.
Yes.
Also the family member.
Yes.
Can you grow that?
If I'm caught, I don't remember any of my family members bearing the same name Mukuba or any other saving that is related to the Mukuba working for the SABC. Had some saying, there would be some students of the university who completed their BA in media studies and who know me and who are working at SABC. And also former employees of the university that I would know, who are not necessarily very nice lady, but who are employees of the SABC, and somehow I might have mentored them in the course of my experience in the media sector.
The last one. Broadcasting Act. It's being amended, that we are in the process of amending as the committee. It's work in progress. So, are there any specific areas in the Act that you think you as Mr. Mahuba, you can contribute in that process of the amending the bill?
Thanks very much. I think the broadcasting is very clear. And I think one of the areas that I feel which has always been a bone of contention, whether you read it from the media or you read it from anywhere else in terms of report, is the role of the shareholder. And what limitations does the shareholder have in terms of how it's supposed to behave, number one. The second part is the behavior of the board members. You know, the clause that I looked at would speak to the removal of the board members. And what I thought should include is the process that must be followed in declaring one of the directors delinquent, so that it's not an arbitrary removal, but there has to be a process that must be followed in terms of the removal of a director. Because sometimes we might find that we use vindictiveness instead of being informed by facts when we remove directors. So it should actually be clearly spelled out. I think also the issue of the editorial independence, for example, is a hot potato. And I'm glad that for sure what is currently happening in the country where there are corruption. Regarding the amendment of the or reviewing of the editorial policies, that would actually add a value. At the core of that is also the issue of the corporate governance. You know, separation of power, what does the shareholder do, the board does, non-executive director to an executive director, the limitation in terms of knowing who does what and who does not do what, and what space we create among ourselves so that there's no conflict. Because we don't want to see a situation whereby by virtue of being made a shareholder representative, you serve the role of the board. Or the board you serve the role of the executive director who are employed full time when they're supposed to execute execute the objectives of the war. I think that is the little contribution that one made in terms of the prospective next year.
Thank you. Members, I'll start with the Honourable Kalako.
I'm not sure of the word that is spelled right. Is this Mahuba?
The name is Mahuba, M-O-H-U-B-A.
Mahuba. For me, you have just mentioned the words. My interest, if you have been following what has been happening in the act of inquiry around the CCC, it's exactly and the recommendations. They send that around flouting of native and framework, flouting of the board charter, and also I think ignoring or trying to tamper with the correct memorandum of incorporation. All this causes government how the SAPC must be run. Even TFMA. So what I want you to do for me is to just briefly, how do these relate in making sure that the relationship and the roles between SAPC, board and the executive, between SABC board and the stakeholder, between SABC board and the regulator. So those are the key to me if we want things to be right. The last SABC board was found one week later. Let alone the other side of the corruption side, which was still able to, they are still forensic investigation around those issues. Then the last other question, Chair, is I've looked at your CV here. With your qualification and experience, how would you contribute toward avoiding all what has happened? You must know you have actually dissolved 3 to 4 courts. Until this one which was dissolved. And all of them were found wanting or not following the act and all the internal arrangements outlined in the document as I actually mentioned. So how would you avoid that? Because not that those documents and the act were not there, and this legislative and government framework were not there, or PMMA was not there. Thank you.
And unfortunately, you have to respond in 1 minute.
In 1 minute, yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'm not up to 4 minutes.
I'll try to remember. Respond, yeah. I think the relationship between the UDM and the board is very clear in terms of your MOI, in terms of the what you call the broadcasting act, and also in terms of the executive charter. I still fail to understand when the things are so unambiguous in the documentation why we are failing to implement them. I still do not understand why who has got fiduciary responsibility would fail to implement them. And that conflict creates a serious discord between SABC and the board. And I want to repeat what I said. When you want to accept public responsibility, have to spend your own respect when you came in for interview. And all of the persons that you have indicated in terms of those boards are the persons who stood in front of this parliamentary committee and made a commitment that they will respect them. It talks to your morals and your ethics. If you have got ulterior motives other than saving, if you have got ulterior motives other than saving, you are going to find yourself doing things that are not prescribed by the law. That's one thing for them. And I think in terms of my CV, as your press is putting it, I've been very strong in terms of that area, in terms of respecting procedures and processes that we establish. And that's number one. The regulatory body, for example, I mean, you have your indicator, which sets regulations as to how the SABC should, not only the SABC, any other broadcaster, should be able to behave. And it's very clear and very unambiguous. And you say to yourself, why is the ICASA making a recommendation, and which is a regulatory body, is making a recommendation? Why is that recommendation? Because they will give you an opportunity to send your case. They don't just make a recommendation without actually involving you. And you have put your case and they make a recommendation. That should be implemented. And then in terms of the stakeholder system, let's say we see, for example, that there's any number of stakeholders, the public, the critical stakeholders. The minute we fail to have confidence in terms of the image and the reputation of the public protector, public protector, we begin to have a problem because we shatter everything. And how does it shatter it? No one would want to watch the news. No one would want to invest. No one would want to make sure that he buys advertising space in the SABC, either in radio or in television, because the image is tainted. How a person wants to invest on the tainted image of an organization. So it's very important that we have to create confidence in the stakeholders, not the public alone, even the investors who would want to put their assets on the SABC to make sure that I'm making a correct investment so that the money is not going to be fresh. Given my experience at the board level and also at the management level, I should be able to instill a sense of consciousness into my fellow board members to say, this is what we are not supposed to do. And supposing I'm being overpowered by other board members, maybe an issue being
You have to run after.
For sure, there would be a process whereby if you have a conflict with fellow board members and maybe have a conflict with fellow shareholder representatives in terms of breach of certain government principles, for sure there's a recourse, and that recourse will be utilized in order to pay my fees.
Thank you. I will do this, Honorable Kumbel, and then I'll go to Honorable Panda, Pandey, and then Honorable Matisha, and then Honorable Dose. Welcome, Honorable Dose. Panda, David. Did I say Pandey? Oh, I'm used to saying Pandey. It will be in that order, Honourable Members, Honourable Kumbel.
Yeah. Then you will see the Wanya Khalil Mahmoud.
Correct. You're correct.
Yeah. You are very privileged to you.
Thank you.
But up front, just as a statistical table, can you share one achievement from this one? That's the first point. Good, right?
Yeah.
Because it can't do this without something to say what they have been on. And then, two, I just want to share with us SABC protesting acting establishing document of the institution, also its organization. Can you share key objectives you know about the key objectives, not all of them. And three, I think you touched the issue of genetic independence or ethnic independence. It occurs in the midst of many things. If you go to the Charter speaks about the shareholders directly are competent. The shareholder was supposed to be shareholder in running the work which needs some autonomy. And the shareholder was supposed to be on the behalf of government, which is also supposed to set regulation and so on. If we are shareholders, how will that in those gray areas? Do we actually run a state to state or achieve its primary objectives? I want to give more time to you.
Yeah, okay. Let's look at the first question that you asked me relating to achievement. And I want it to be relevant to this interview. So yes, I think what the first achievement is that I was able to be a board member and a shareholder of a consulting engineering company for a period of 10 years without any scandal. You can check that for your records. I think that is very rare in this country for some good people. And the second part is that my apologies. the key objectives of the Act, and I think I've dealt with the issue of the achievement, and I want to go to the key objectives of the Act, and I also want to be relevant. Because if I don't mention this one, which is a key factor, and when it is not arrested, it ends up spilling on us. And I would say the instilling of the principles of corporate governance in any organization, because it talks to a lot of issues, but it's fundamental. It talks to a lot of issues. That area needs to be respected. One of them all into all the reports, even the parliamentary ad hoc committee reports. Critical to that is the collapse of the corporate government, And when corporate government collapses, it means the whole bureaucracy, which is your shareholder representative, and you are members of the board, and you are executive directors, they will end up doing as they wish, because there's collapse of corporate governance, which is very important. The grey areas, and I think that's the reason why we have got these amendments that are needed. And I want to repeat what I said. You have got your memorandum of your MOI, and you've got all the legislative frameworks, but you still find people going beyond and not respecting the principles as they are stated. And I think the what is called the amendment would clear those inequities, would clear those areas. For example, if you have got, and as I was sharing with somebody to say, the clear role of the shareholder representative needs to be defined. And the shareholder representative needs to know the limitations. And the board needs to know that this is what is expected of us. And I think the charter should be the Bible of every board member. And the MOI should actually be the Bible for both the shareholder representative and also the what is called the director. So, and the executive also should be able to be converted with limitations. If you go into the report, for example, and I can cite two reports which we talked about.
We
talked about the collapse of corporate governance. There are quite a number of things that are cited. You know, when government collapses, there's no supply chain management policies that exist. Anyone wakes up in the morning and says, my limitations are 100 million, but because there's no system that is in place, I mean, have push. Thank you, Chair.
In that order.
Thanks, Chair. Thank you very much for making yourself available. From your CV, it seems to be very experienced. And just from listening to you talk, you seem to be quite knowledgeable about the FABC. Now, we want to obviously appoint the best people, try to be the best to serve on the FABC board, so that we don't go through the recent era that the FABC has gone through. So, what, give me one unique characteristic that you have that nobody else
applied to have. What makes you unique? What are you going to do to the board that nobody else can? There's one thing that keeps me very outstanding from the rest. I'm a decision maker. Because if you don't have people who are capable of making decisions, you're going to have a problem. In that, so they are going to be flashy, and decisions that are made are based on laws and regulations that are coming in the corporation. So decision making is my strong point.
Lots of people make decisions, and decision maker, and you need to address it. Decisions were made that if you do the wrong thing, and that's why they found themselves in the situation that they did. I wouldn't be a decision maker, because everyone will say I'm a very good at strong decision. What other
characteristics
do you have that makes you special and different from
anybody else? The second one is respect of policies and procedures that govern the institution and making sure that you apply them to the last. And if there's a need for a deviation from those procedures, for sure the regulations will allow you to follow a certain process that accommodates the deviation and not deviate for having not been informed by anything.
Okay. what are your views? If you could give me one policy that you've implemented at FABC to change the way that it's currently working. What unique idea do you have about improving the way that
SABC
does business?
One of the things that I would say about SABC, SABC is not very present and available in terms of, unless it can be available for all the wrong reasons. When you think about SABC today, you only think about wrong reasons. And that is exactly what was happening. And I think my peer and my communication skills would be able to discuss the image of the SABC. I was looking at the website of the SABC and I'm saying, you have got an SABC Foundation which is doing some great work, but I mean, who's showcasing that? So that we don't only look at the negative, but we also look at positive things that are happening. Currently, we're sitting with an engineering board. And from the comments, I mean, they are doing wonders. But who knows the information so that the perception of the public about the SABC changes. So my PR skills, my media communication skills, my marketing skills and all this would help to resuscitate. And my second engagement skills would also help to resuscitate the image of the SABC. Because surely there would be some executives who are charged for the duty of communication. And working with them, we would be able to say, this is the way we want to see the new SABC. We don't want to focus on what has happened. There are certain processes that are being followed in order that what has happened gets corrected. But we need to move forward and make sure that the image of the public broadcaster is retained.
Yes, I do agree that communication is definitely an area that the SABC needs to improve. My final question. On your application, it says that you were nominated by former students of the University of Limpopo.
Yeah.
Very good. Who are these people?
Well, I'm not sure what I should name the methods or the process that was followed. I was sitting at home doing my studies. As you can see in the CV, I'm doing PhD. I was at home and then some former students came to my house and said, "We think you are here." And I said, "Okay. But this is why do you think about me?" And you see, people outside, they observe certain things that yourself may not actually be able to observe. And they said to me that, "I think your experience, your skills qualifies you to be in the leadership of the university." I mean, if people want to nominate you and see a certain skill and see that you can add value to one of the FOEs in the country, which is big, then I accept it. And then they asked me to put the one for my qualification. They asked me to write my CV, which is always available, but one is tricky to accommodate this type of a government. And that's exactly what I did.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Honorable
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much, Mr. Mahuba, for being here with us.
Thank you.
Obviously, the duty of the portfolio committee is to ensure that the board members who are appointed are beyond reproach. And this is your opportunity to clear the air if there's any allegations of impropriety against you. So I'm going to give you that opportunity with my question. My first question relates to a Mail and Guardian article that was published in 2012, which says, and I quote, "If you move in the same business circles as the former Premier of Limpopo, Thabo Mbeki." Can you confirm that you do move in business circles with the former Premier? And if so, can you elaborate on this for us? And this is important to us because there is a clause in the Broadcasting Act which says that any board members must disclose their financial interests, especially if they relate to telecommunications or broadcasting or print media. So please can you elaborate on that? My second question relates to a newspaper report also in 2012 that alleged that you were involved in irregularly awarding a University of Limpopo contract to the Friends of the ANC Youth League. Now, according to the report, there was a university investigation, there was a public protector report. Can you please tell us about this investigation, what the outcome was, and whether you were implicated or found guilty of any wrongdoing in that investigation? And then my last question is...
Yes, yes. Can I get the third one?
Yeah, this is the third one coming.
Okay.
It has been also reported that you personally persuaded the University of Limpopo to host the ANC Polokwane Conference in 2007. I'd like to ask you what business case you presented to the university to host the conference, and whether or not you regret persuading the university to do it, considering that the ANC didn't end up paying for that conference and owed $6 million for that conference. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Mr. Davis. Let me start with the article in the Mail and Guardian of 2012. Maybe start how I responded to the article, because I remember I gave a response of 52 pages with all the annexures to the guy who was writing the story. And the story has allegations that I am in business with the former Premier of Limpopo, Catherine Matale. And I'm not going to claim that I do not know Catherine Matale. I've known Catherine Matale in the early 80s when we were three students at the university, but he was not a student. And secondly, I was not in business interest with Matale, except that me and Mr. Matale are staying in the same suburb in Polokwane. So you can do whatever kind of investigation. I have never had any business interest with Matale. And also, that in my response to those allegations, I had actually indicated to the journalist of Mail and Guardian where I got the personal interest. One of the things that they also did, I think they were confusing me with my brother, because they listed the name of the former member of parliament, Mr. Thabo Mbeki, who is a friend of my brother. So for sure the journalist was confusing me with my brother. So that is the answer to number one. The second part was what relates the regular contract to the ANC youth league members. And I want to be very specific. They were talking about a certain forum. And I want to indicate that even today, if you can bring three people outside there and say, you know forum, I will not be able to call that forum. It was just malicious intention of the journalist publishing content about me. In the first place, I don't even sit in the procurement committee of the university. That's number one. Number two, I don't sit in the council tender fiscal planning committee, which our tenders. I don't sit in there. The only time when I see tenders is when we're sitting in a full council, which is when you look at the report coming from committees, and I don't share any committee or council that deals with tenders. Number four is that I am in executive management of the university, and the rule of the university is any tender process that is coming from operational tender committee that does not go into the executive management, but goes straight to the council tender committee, so that management is not seen to be interfering in that process. Number three, which is the 2007, I'm an employee of the University of Limpopo. And by then I was the director for PR and communications, and I was assigned responsibility to be the project manager of 2007. And during that time, I had an opportunity of meeting quite a number of very important people during that time. I was made a project manager of the process of the university. Now, when you talk about the business case, part of the things that I was assigned to do was to sit with the then provincial secretary of the African National Congress, and that person happened to be Carter Matai.
Thank you very much. The other conference before 2007 was in 2002 in Stellenbosch University.
Thank you.
I lawyers when they don't want to ask the question, they say the letter is up to the head. And I want to be very careful in terms of how I'm answering some of the questions, because there are certain processes that are unfolding and I don't want to find myself in danger of having said something that I will regret later. And with due respect, especially on the funding of the television stations, and I think there's a process that is currently being followed, and then I think the president of the country has also signed some proclamation to allow the state agencies to go and investigate. But supposing there was no such. Obviously, it was wrong for the management and a group of managers to collude to do that, but that still has to be established further, because there would be criminal activities or criminal proceedings preferred against those who have transgressed. And I think PSLA is very clear in terms of provisions as to what needs to happen after such things have been done. Now, the same applies to, and let me look at the political interference, because that is very dangerous compared to the mismanagement and the corruption element which the state agencies are dealing with. It's interference on its own is problematic, because it compromises you, it compromises your independence. And this brings a confusion as whether it is a state media or a public media. Because in terms of the challenge of independence, editorial independence, we obviously know who does what and who does not do what. And the journalists, they've got certain areas where they cover. But we have got the group CEO who's the chief editor-in-chief. And then we've got also the group executive responsible for the news. And then he has to be able to look at the editorial values and what are the editorial values of the SABC. We look into that, and then from there he should be able to subscribe to those editorial values in order that the news become relevant, responsive, accountable, and representing the views of the public, but not representing the views of whatever alleged political party that you are speaking about. So interference on its own is just problematic, because you need integrity in the news. The integrity in the news that are being broadcasted, so that the public are able to trust it, not to be championing a certain cause.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. I don't have a name tag, you see, so that can I organize the name set so that you can find it in the house?
No, that's what we can.
Thank you very much. Mr. Mukuba, we live in a serious era of a poverty of integrity. Some of the people, even by mere association of their brothers, who may be engaged in forms of conduct that are questionable in terms of the law, get to be doubted whether they will be able to stand the test of integrity. I am undersatisfied with the way in which you dealt with the questions of honor and dignity. I'm going to use the first part of my time to give you a proper opportunity to define clearly what is it exactly that you call your relationship with Castle Matar, with the Honorable Castle Matar. Clear, don't circumspectate, speak directly in relation to that questionable conference in terms of the money of the university that is very poor. That still has problems with money to this day for its own students and the ANC that did not pay it. But also, you know, the fact that it gave us the wrong president. I mean, I'm just saying, what exactly where you are about to say about that conference and your involvement in relation to Castle Matala.
My, remember Castle Matala was the professor.
When you came in, we explained it to how many minutes. Between yourself and the candidate, you share 5 minutes. So you ask questions so that he is able to respond to all that within that 5 minutes. Unfortunately, we came after we had explained that. But also we stop members to delve into political issues like the factions and the wrong president and all that kind of thing. Over to you, sir.
Just quickly, in 2007, 2006, when I was asked by the university to be the project manager, obviously the whole province was in Limpopo, and then I had worked directly with the provincial secretary of the ANC, and that was Captain Matala, and that was our relationship. That's number one. Number two, the money that we owed by the ANC to the university has since been made about 3 years ago. 3-4 years
ago,
yeah.
Yes.
So I still have... Yeah, you still have 2 minutes. 2 minutes. 2 minutes, huh? Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. My last one is, what do you think of President Zuma's administration action in the SABC? What do you think of this administration's action in the SABC? What could be the one thing that is important for you to be in the board, which is your reflection about his administration's relation to the SABC?
Thank you. And I'm going to say on the basis of report, and I'm not going to generate anything new. My worry is the previous shareholder's representative in terms of what is alleged to be interference in the board. That becomes my serious worry. Because if you take advantage of your being at a superior and not respecting the rules and regulations, the Broadcasting Act, the MOI, the shareholder contract, the charter and all, undermining that at that level, it's obviously very worrisome to say, is this the right custodian for the policies and procedures of the whole thing? And I can only speak about the shareholder representative who was the Minister of Communication by then, because there would be allegations by which cannot be proved that there was a mandate from the president, there was something. It was all in the papers, but I mean that cannot be proven. But what can actually be cited is what is in the document, and also looking at what the other committee report was saying, and also the presentations that were made by various parties regarding the issue that is contained in the report of the other committee.
I'm happy that you dealt with the question on the basis of political interference. I think you dealt with it in that fashion, not in the following names and all. Thank you. Members? The 5 minutes left is to be shared by all of us.
Part of the reasons why the SABC is dealing with the financial situation affect the challenge of unfunded mandate? What are the challenges? And how do you, what contribution will you make if appointment and payment deal with this particular challenge? I'm sure you are writing because I have three other questions. I want to raise the table.
The even of you using your 5 minutes without him responding.
Okay. Even of you, what the relationship between the SABC, what is the relationship between the SABC and the regulator, and what is the current state of affairs, and if appointed a board member, how would you see yourself improving this current state of affairs? And the last one, digital migration, what does it mean to the city?
Okay, so with you, and then with remaining with another Matova in Paris. Over to you, sir.
Yeah, I think there is an outcry in terms of doing the current work, the funding model, as you are correctly putting it. But my view is that let's not change for the sake of changing. Let's look at what works and how we then augment it. And for example, I mean, we've got the what you call the TV license as the one for revenue generation. And for the government, which is putting in mind also through the national pressure, and we also have for advertisers. And my view is that this must be retained. And I'll give you a little example of what I observed yesterday as I was coming to here. And as I was passing either Langa or Yang or something, and I was asking the driver, are DSTV satellites given free of charge on the left hand side? And you are saying, no, the people here are only paying for DSTV, and they're not paying for TV license. And I'm looking at how that we collect TV license, which is one off, and then the DSTV, which is paid monthly. And the question of the affordability cannot be a challenge in terms of to abandon the issue of license fees, for example. And I think it needs to be better so that more is done in order to generate that. But the other thing that I think should be infused is that, you know, we're preaching content. And as we are preaching content, what kind of investments are we making to make sure that the content is actually sponsored or invested into? And my view is that UNEP for the Department of Small Business Development, which speaks to empowering of a number of areas, and I think they should be able to invest a certain amount of money into FABC to promote local content. Number two, you've got the Minister of Arts and Culture, for example. The whole crux of arts and culture activities resides there, but how do we then make it that it is known so that the skills of the people and the expertise of people in the rural villages are seen? Therefore, there could be some element of resources invested in order to showcase. Because my view is that...
If you can move to the next thing, and I'll ask you one thing.
The digital migration, for example, I mean, it's very important. But the view is very important because it brings quality in terms of what we shall be seeing. Part one is the delay in terms of implementation, but I happen to know through my other information that is delayed by the court processes, which is disadvantaging the majority of the people because we need. But the other element is the question of the court. And I think much is arising. There's a way in which the issue of the court can be addressed. More especially that you see our people affording the DSTV, for example, and which was part of Monday effect.
Thank you.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable I appreciate the fact that you are very explicit.
well that it made things. I'm just worried, where would we find time, given the situation that the SABC is in now, not to the fact that we have been having for that month, that change in finishing on the 26th of September, therefore, immediately, what are the things that have been removed? Where would we find time of selling this particular product when the president can then say it is facing a serious threat?
The MDC is a bot, and I guess it's not like a full-time job. That's number one. And part of the thing that the bot would be expected to do is to develop a turnaround strategy. And when you develop a turnaround strategy, there would be some executives. That strategy is being accepted by the bot. There would be executives who are charged with responsibilities of making sure that the objectives of the strategies are achieved. And how do you then make sure that the strategies are achieved? You make sure that it becomes part of the performance contract, and which is monitored on quarterly basis. So a board is there to develop that strategy based on the reports that are already available. So it will require one maybe to attend four board meetings per annum, or if you become a member of the committee, and well-functioning committees do not actually meet many times. And I think the process is to restore credibility within the board so that you don't have a crisis after crisis after crisis where committees are meeting more than 4 minutes many times. And if indeed we say we want the board that will respect policies and procedures and also respect various legislation and legislative frameworks that are governing the SABC, they will not actually be a need to meet quite often. And when the strategy has already been developed, we deal with issues that have been raised. But maybe at the first entire level, maybe the first framework we might actually want to be dedicated in time. I'm an executive of the university, and in terms of the other boards, which we meet twice a year, because the established procedures that are there which are not in conflict. And then time is not a problem. The council of the university where I also sit meet four times a year, and I also sit in the audit committee, which means about four times a year. So I would be able to dedicate time in terms of my role in the SABC board. Thank you.
The last one, Chair, in the history of the SABC, which board you might say
I think I'm going to be a little bit biased in terms of answering that question. To say when Professor Jamlun Devin was still the chair of the board and when the late Patrick Kabakuri was still the chairperson of the board, I think that those were the time. And I think when Trikamji was also part of the board, I think there was a sense of respect of the policies and procedures and also the government framework.
I think the first round is done. I will allow one follow-up from you, Honourable President, and then allow one follow-up question from you, Honourable President. And then Honourable Mati shall there's a follow-up question. And Honourable Ghost if there's a follow-up question. Honourable David? Honourable David?
Thank you, Chair. I've got two very short follow-ups, if I answer that, it's okay. Mr. Mahuba, you said that when I asked you about your business interests as a link to religious links that you have with the former Premier, Kassim Mutale, you said that you wrote a 52-page response to the journalist. But then you also said that the journalist confused you with your brother. So can you clarify, did you write a 52-page response just to tell the journalist that you were not your brother? That's my first question, I guess. And if not, what was actually contained in the 52 pages that you gave to the journal? The second question is, you said that the article on tender irregularities was malicious. Why did you not take any steps to correct that article, either by suing the journalist for defamation, or at least reporting the newspaper to the press ombudsman?
The 52 pages, I indicated that it would include a lecture, just to try to justify what the journalist was asking. It was not only dealing with Castle Matan, it was dealing with a range of issues that relate to alleged corruption, not against me, but against the University of Limpopo. Remember, I'm the spokesperson of the university, and I have to get information and also respond. So the response was in terms of the questions that were raised by the journalist in 2012. I might not be able to recall all of them now, but specifically on the one that speaks about my relationship with Castle Matan, and I still maintain that I did not have any business relationship with Castle Matan when the journalist and because I challenged the journalist to say, give me evidence that shows that I've got a business relationship with Castle Matan. Unfortunately, that does not happen. Now, the whole response and the questions that were raised, there was an eager to sue. And university uses Flaxman attorneys in Rosebank. We presented our case to Flaxman attorneys and they advised against any action that must be taken. And we presented our case to the lawyers. They are reputable lawyers of the university, Flaxman attorneys, and then they advised against us taking any action until such time. So we were advised not to take any action by the lawyers of the university. Because I was not, it was not dealing with me, it was dealing with the institution and I take instructions from my bosses and also instructions from the government structures. Because this was also debated at Hunter and it was the feeling that no action must be taken.
Thank you.
They don't have
that. Yeah.
Well, you did, in my opinion, attempt to address a certain point, but one would actually want to have a proper understanding. You know, this relationship of the representative, the shareholder, of the minister, the board and the manager, that has created problems throughout and for a very, very lengthy period in the country. Okay? And then why are these all things, etc. Kindly indicate, how are you going to deal with this kind of problem should you be put or the appointed in the board?
I think one of the recommendations coming from the Ad Hoc Committee on Communication is to clearly have an understanding. And I believe that members of the board will, either new or old, will go through an induction process. And that induction process will clearly indicate what is the role of the shareholder representative and what is the role of the non-executive director and what is the role of the group CEO. Because the indications are there, the principles are there, and the only thing that needs to happen is to be conscious of them and make sure that you are applying them. The challenge is very clear in terms of what the minister is supposed to do. Secondly, the challenge is very clear in terms of the role of the board and the responsibility of the director. And the challenge very clear in terms of the three executives who are part of the board, being your group CEO, being your CFO, and being your chief operating officer. And I think if all of us have gone through an induction process and morally and consciously and ethically so, respect
we shouldn't actually be having a problem. Hence, earlier on when I was asking a question, if I sit in the board and I realize that there is impediment on the priesthood that is perpetuated, would I, for sure there would be a situation whereby I would have recourse other than that of the board or other than that of the shareholder representative, where I can actually raise my views. For sure, when such issues come, they would be reported to this very same committee to say there is instability. And in my own view, I would be able to say, in the board, this is what I have said, and this is how I was ignored.
Thank you very much. Honourable Bill.
Thanks, Chair. I still don't have a check. But two questions quickly. You said earlier on there was a PP investigation, public protector investigation. What were its findings in relation to you? Number two, how different would you have dealt with Saudi if you were in the past?
Well, in terms of the PP report, which appointed the public protector raised the issue with the Department of Education, for example, in terms of the allegations that were brought forward, and in that report, I was obviously my name was mentioned in the dossier that was presented to the minister, but I was exonerated. Some of the things that were raised were found to be not having any substance. I'll give you an example, Honorable Rose. You know, when you say I slept at a hotel which costs the university 1,600 and I must be disciplined for that, was good as that, sleeping at the very same hotel. And, I mean, that was very unfortunate kind of a piety. He said, on record, I mean, those are the times. And then the second finding was that I was entertaining guests. Part of my responsibility is to entertain guests. And that's exactly what I did. And it's contained in the whole book of the institution. By being an executive director, part of my responsibility is entertainment of guests and stakeholder relations. That's exactly what I did. And the ENY report was saying I must be disciplined for entertaining guests. That is why the Council of the University and the Minister just shared that report and said, we wasted a lot of money.
Thank you. Honorable Teddy? Only one for us now.
There is a debate which suggests that the powers and the role of the executive directors of the board need to be reviewed. What's your take on that?
You know, the
CEO and the CFO. So they just relay and say there are rules there in the board.
Yeah,
there is problematic.
And that's a view honorable is not innocent. And the reviewer is informed by the previous behavior of the executive directors who were in the position. And in the process of managing and governing, when you have given certain people responsibility, you have to time and again review as whether this thing is relevant and this one is relevant and this one is not relevant. Maybe because of the past experience, some of the executive directors who were sitting in the board assumed the responsibilities which were not there. And unfortunately, you have other board members who are, for lack of better words, who are seen to be colluding with the executive director. Hence, this is a review. My view and my experience is that the executive director is necessary, but how should they behave in the board? Because in terms of my experience in other boards, they become resourceful. Because board members, they don't sit in each and every committee. in the board, full board meeting, you will have the chairperson of the committee give a report about what transpired in the various committees and in the various functions. Now, the non-executive, the executive directors are then as the resource persons in order to clarify certain matters pertaining to the whole operations of the SADC. But if you allow them to assume certain responsibilities as it has happened in the past, that's why you need to have a reviewer in order to say, we limit you until this level. I sit in the board, I sit where I'm an executive manager. I only come in when I'm supposed to clarify. If I find myself in the debate, it means I'm debating a certain status quo which might not necessarily be correct.
Thank you very much, Mr. Naho.
Thank you, Jay.
So, that's the end of this. If you have questions to members, you can ask. Yeah, ready?
No, I don't have a question. Yeah. I still have to travel back to Johannesburg now. And my asking of the questions might delay.
Okay.
But I think I had a very candid type of an interview. And it was very thought provoking, and I think I would be able to have very good effort in the board.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
We have the last candidate before we break for dinner. In fact, we have three candidates left for today. Thank you very much, Mr. Bowers. Finally, you have named several hundred also.